Čech's Sinfonietta is one of the works you can hear when Hannah French presents Record Review Extra this evening. There's also Schubert's Third Symphony and Mozart's C minor Mass in the recording recommended in Record Review yesterday morning. Join Hannah for all that and more at 10 to 9 this evening. And that's after this week's Drama on 3, now here on BBC Radio 3. This week, a version of the poem Christabel by Samuel Taylor Coleridge. It's recorded in binaural sound, so you may like to listen on headphones for a more immersive experience. Here to introduce it is the poet Kate Clancy.
The young Samuel Taylor Coleridge started the ballad Christabel in the year 1797.
Like his most famous poem, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, written around the same time, it's a ballad in traditional metre, and it sets out a gripping story heavy with symbolism. A young girl meets a mysterious woman and invites her into her castle, though all portents, dog, water, bell, strike against her. Inside, in bed, something mysterious and unmistakably sexual happens, and then... And then... What? And then we get to the end of part one and keenly anticipate the next episode. But somehow, Coleridge couldn't decide what that might be. In 1800, he made a big effort to finish it for the publication of the Lyrical Ballads, the famous volume he co-wrote with Wordsworth, but he could only come up with a part two, and Wordsworth didn't think that was enough. Part two recounts how Christabel wakes up from her night with Geraldine and can only remember what has happened in nightmarish snatches. Together, she and Geraldine go to her father, Sir Leoline, who Geraldine charms, and Leoline, at great length, realises she is the daughter of an old friend and decides to take her to meet him. Compared to the female-centred, ambiguous, shifting, extremely present-tense first part, with its sharp, sensual, pictorial verse, part two is baggy and static and full of old men and reported speech. It's as if Coleridge had scared himself away from his first exciting plotline and outrageous imagery and decided to tidy the whole thing up. No wonder he never wrote part three. He'd have had to actually jog over the hills with Sir Leoline and have that encounter with the old friend, with Christabel all the while reduced to a fit of vapours in the background. I didn't want to write the end of that story either. I decided, a few weeks after accepting Radio 3's commission, to work with Christabel for the contained Strong Language Festival. In fact, I didn't think it was possible to end that story, not unless a series of six parts and the cast of Game of Thrones were suddenly made available. I wanted to return to the Christabel that everyone loves. Part one, with its gothic towers and potent female characters, its missing mother and that dog. There was a playful, sensual quality to bring out and a sense of fun, and I knew that the composer, Katie Chapburn, was already at work on some music with an all-woman choir that would bring that out. So I decided not to try to finish Christabel, but instead to wrap it in another story which would echo and enhance it. The meta-story could take on the emotional trajectory of Christabel and bring it round in some sort of arc, even if Christabel the poem could not. And if I picked the right teller, the poetry could sound contemporary and demotic again, as Coleridge wanted for his lyrical ballads. So in my version of Christabel, a young performance poet, Sam, and his sister Bella are making a podcast of the poem. Bella is forthright, precocious, anxious, like Christabel. Sam is a mixture of talent, innocence and bumptiousness. He's the same age as Coleridge when he wrote Christabel and has an interest like Coleridge in drugs and what they make you see. There is a dog, as in Christabel, though rather a small one this time, and the ghost of a mother. Sam and Bella take their podcast outside and encounter another mysterious romantic element, the lake and the landscape around it. In this play, the hills and waters have a voice, the choir of St. Leoline. We're not sure what these voices want, but they are demanding, there to tell Sam and Bella something about themselves, though also to have some fun on the way. Both Sam and Bella are enthralled to a third mysterious character, a musician who Sam found beside a lake and brought home for lockdown. Who she might be, or what, is the recurrent question of the play, just as who is Geraldine is the central question of Christabel. We can't fully answer Coleridge's question, but I hope we can ask it loud and clear.
Dull and shy,
Geraldine in maiden wise, cast down the lord's bright eyes, he shrunk up to a serpent's eye, a snake's
Christabel by Samuel Taylor Coleridge, dramatized by Kate Clancy.
My name is Sam Thwaites. I'm a poet, a student and a poet. And this is the story of, this is my performance and adaptation of Christabel.
Our performance and adaptation.
Our performance and adaptation of Christabel by Samuel Taylor Coleridge. And the story of...
Taylor.
And everything that happened around it.
I'm Bella Thwaites. I'm Sam's sister. I'm 16. It was me who chose Christabel. I'm doing the romantics for A-level.
You might think it's a bit odd doing a production with my little sister.
Sam and me, we always did a lot of performances and recordings and stuff together. Because when we were kids and moved to the Lake District after Mum died, well...
We didn't fit in that well.
No.
We were weird. And southern.
We are weird. But then there were two of us. But when Sam went up to uni back in London...
I was finding my own way, sis.
Yeah. Anyway, this April 2020... lockdown came.
And I had this dissertation to finish. I'm doing drama in English.
So we made a recording for the dissertation. Christabel. I'll play Christabel. She's 16, same age as me. Sam, now you introduce Taylor.
Also on the performance, you'll hear Taylor Jones playing Geraldine. Taylor happened to be with us on lockdown.
Happened to be?
I found her on the third day.
In a caravan up behind the church.
She wasn't in the caravan.
Which makes all the difference.
She was wild camping. Do you know why, Bella?
I know why she said, Sam. I'm just pointing out that it was not unreasonable of me to have been a little suspicious.
Dad was fine with it.
Dad? You want to talk about Dad? Okay. She'd sit in Dad's study, pouring him another whiskey, asking about his books.
And you acted like a jealous little cow for weeks. And why? She was staying in my room. It had nothing to do with you.
I'm going to have to edit this. We should also say, we recorded this production of Christabel by Samuel Taylor Coleridge in the chapel of St. Leoline.
Which is part of my dad's parish.
So we had the key.
Yeah, it's this little stone chapel, right? Just like in the elbow of the hill, in front of this mini lake, a pond basically, and a little wood, and it's got a graveyard and dry stone wall.
It's so, so ancient. I love it. Like, well beyond medieval.
There's this freaky echo up there.
It's the choir of St. Leoline.
Oh, you're not going to say about that.
Yeah. It's important. Behind the chapel of St. Leoline is this choir of women who send your words back. They live in the lake.
The echo basically bounces straight off the cliff. It sends your words back. Incredibly precise.
Because St. Leoline's is this pagan place, right? It's Wicca. And the women in the choir, they must be like women who went up there for ceremonies and abortions and all that. So, of course, now they say the choir wants revenge and to catch men and drown them and then get young women to join the choir.
And we thought the echo might work well in the performance.
It was Taylor's idea.
I think it was me.
No, she seeded it into the conversation and you picked it up.
Whatever.
And I watched.
It was a great idea. The echo. So we waited for a still night.
Which was obviously also freezing.
With a moon so we could move about. There were freaky moons that month, and this was one of the freakiest. Like, when it was clear, you could literally read.
The night is chilly, but not dark.
The night is chilly, but not dark. The thin grey cloud is spread on high. It covers, but not hides the sky. The moon is behind and at the full. And yet she looks both small and dull. The night is chill, the cloud is grey. 'Tis a month before the month of May, and the spring comes slowly up this way.
The night is chilly, but not dark. Wow, that echo.
A thin grey cloud is spread on high. It covers, but not hides the sky. The moon is behind and at the full, and yet she looks both small and dull. The night is chill. The cloud is grey. 'Tis a month before the month of May. And the spring comes slowly up this way. Tis the middle of the night by the castle clock, and the owls have awakened the crowing cock.
Cock-a-doodle-doo!
And hark, again, the crowing cock, how drowsily it crew.
Eleanor, it's your line. I'll do the clock.
Sir Leoline, the Baron Rich, hath a toothless mastiff bitch. From her kennel beneath the rock, she maketh answer to the clock. Four for the quarters and 12 for the hour. Ever an eye by shine and shower, 16 short howls, not over loud.
16! Christ.
Some say she sees my lady's shroud.
Can you get the dog under control, Bella?
Some say she sees my lady shroud. Why don't you get your voice under control, Taylor?
Some say she sees my lady shroud. I'm not doing anything. That's the echo. Freaky.
For the hour.
To be fair on Taylor, I think you were pissing about there, Bella, with the echo and Eleanor.
Also, we should say in the recordings you can hear Eleanor.
She was my sister's pug.
She was all of ours pug.
She used to belong to my mum, who died 7 years ago.
There is a dog in the poem.
A mastiff.
Taylor was always mean to Eleanor.
Eleanor used to bite her ankles when she went to the loo in the night.
It was Eleanor's house.
Taylor was staying with me.
But why?
It was lockdown.
So she should be with her family. Her boyfriend. She was older than you, worked as a musician, a model, an actress.
Most beautiful to see. A lady from the far country.
She said. Way too cool for us.
OK, for the record...
Yeah, go on. Explain it, Sam. Like we agreed.
I found Taylor out behind the chapel on the third day of lockdown. And she was sitting out on a rock with her fiddle, all her hair, all dreads and plaits down to her feet and cottonweed in it, all in her heavy boots and her leathers and her crooked teeth. And she was singing to herself. And I'd never seen anything more beautiful in my life.
That's not what we said we'd say.
I'm not going to lie about it, Bella. I've decided. I didn't take her in to help with quarantine or because she was vulnerable, any of that shit that you said. I fell in love with her. And I begged her to come home with me. I just got on my knees in the bog and begged her. And don't edit that out.
Right. In this next scene, Christabel, that's me, goes for a wander.
And she came, and it was the honour of my life.
And discovers the Lady Geraldine under a tree outside the graveyard.
Geraldine. Put in my protest against the dine here.
We agreed, Geraldine, Sam. It has to be. It rhymes.
It sounds all oldie-worldy and effective and just icky.
Are you through?
Yes. Christabel's just gone for a bit of a wander in the night, like you do.
Thinking about her betrothed?
Oh, yes. It was a lovely sight to see the Lady Christabel when she was praying at the old oak tree. Amid the jagged shadows of mossy, leafless boughs, kneeling in the moonlight to make her gentle vows.
It was a lovely sight to see the Lady Christabel, that's me, praying at the old oak tree.
Her slender palms together pressed, heaving sometimes on her breast, her face resigned to bliss or bale, her face, oh, call it fair, not pale, and both blue eyes more bright than clear, each about to have a tear, the lovely Lady Christabel, whom her father loves so well. What makes her in the wood so late, a furlong from the castle gate?
I had dreams all yesternight of my own betrothed knight, and I in the midnight wood will pray for the weal of my lover that's far away.
I had dreams all yesternight of my own betrothed knight. In the midnight wood I'll pray for the weal of my lover that's far away.
She stole along, she nothing spoke, the sighs she heaved were soft and low. And naught was green upon the oak but moss and rarest mistletoe.
I had dreams of yesterday, of my own, betrothed,
The night is chill, the forest bare. Is it the wind that moaneth bleak?
No, there is not wind enough in the air to move away the ringlet curl from the lovely lady's cheek.
There is not wind enough to twirl the one red leaf, the last of its clan, that dances as often as dance it can, hanging so light and hanging so high on the topmost twig that looks up at the sky.
Christabel kneels beneath the huge oak tree. and in silence prayeth she. Christabel kneels beneath the huge oak tree, and in silence prayeth she. What was that?
The lady sprung up suddenly, the lovely Lady Christabel.
It moaned as near can be, but what it is, I cannot tell.
On the other side, it seems to be, of the huge, broad-breasted old oak tree. Hush, beating heart of Christabel. Jesus, Mary, shield her well. She folded her arms beneath her cloak and stole to the other side of the oak.
What sees she there?
There she sees a damsel bright, dressed in a silken robe of white, that shadowy in the moonlight shone.
It's me.
The neck that made the white robe wan, her stately neck, and arms were bare. Mm-hmm. Her blue-veined feet unsandaled were, and wildly glittered here and there, the gems entangled in her hair. I guess 'twas frightful there to see a lady so richly clad as she. Beautiful, exceedingly.
I guess 'twas frightful there to see a lady so richly clad as she. Beautiful, exceedingly. Mary, Mother, save me now. And who art thou?
The lady strange made answer meet, and her voice was faint and sweet.
Have pity on my sore distress. I scarce can speak for weariness. Stretch forth thy hand and have no fear.
Who are you, lady fair?
My sire is of a noble line, and my name is Geraldine.
How camest thou here?
Ready for this? 5 warriors seized me yestermorn. Me, even me, a maid forlorn. They choked my cries with force and fright, and tied me on a palfrey white. The palfrey was as fleet as wind, and they rode furiously behind. They spurred amain, their steeds were white.
Who were they, Geraldine?
I have no thought what men they be.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Nor do I know how long it is, for I've lain entranced, I wiz, since one, the tallest of the 5, took me from the palfrey's back, a weary woman, scarce alive. Some muttered words his comrades spoke. He placed me underneath this oak. He swore they would return with haste. Whither they went, I cannot tell. I thought I heard some minutes past sounds as of a castle bell and barking. Stretch forth thy hand and help a wretched maid to flee. Cut, Sam, we did that wrong, that scene.
It was good. It was funny.
But it isn't funny. It's terrible.
It's ridiculous. What Geraldine's saying, 5 men put her on a horse and then dumped her. Can't take it seriously.
No, you have to take it seriously. You have to listen. It happened.
I don't know. Geraldine's a dubious character in the poem. That's half the point.
We should do it again.
I'm with Taylor.
No.
Yeah, we'll run it again. This time seriously. Just have an alternative. Cut. We had to run it again. You knew what Taylor was talking about, Bella.
I was talking about Coleridge.
When I found Taylor, out by the lake, she said she was camping because she'd run away from this rock star. I'm not going to name him, but he does live around here. She'd gone to his studio to do a shoot. Big house up here in the Lake District. 3 days' work, he said. 1,000 a day. And she got there, and it was just him. And he locked her in a room. And so she crawled out the window and ran and just started living on the hillside.
With her tent, mysteriously.
She bought that.
If she bought her tent, she could have bought a train ticket before lockdown. Gone home, if London is really where she comes from. Just saying what was on my mind at the time. But it was good we did it twice. It was the right thing to do. The second version is better. I agree.
Have pity on my sore distress. I scarce can speak for weariness. Stretch forth thy hand and have no fear.
Who are you, Lady Fair?
My sire is of a noble line, and my name is Geraldine.
How camest thou here?
5 warriors seized me yestermorn. Me, even me, a maid forlorn. They choked my cries with force and fright, and tied me on a palfrey white. The palfrey was as fleet as wind, and they rode furiously behind. They spurred amain, their steeds were white.
Who were they, Geraldine?
I have no thought what men they be.
I see.
Then Christabel stretched forth her hand and comforted fair Geraldine.
Oh well, bright dame, may you command the service of Sir Leoline.
Sir Leoline?
Sir Leoline, my father be. Come. All our household are at rest. The hall is silent as the cell. Sir Leoline is weak in health and may not well awakened be, but we will move as if in stealth. And I beseech your courtesy this night to share your couch with me.
And I beseech your courtesy this night to share your couch with me. Something else.
You're right. You're freaking out.
I like it, Sam. I really like it out here. That moon is pink. Hey, you want one of these?
Oh, man. Moons.
I'm not sure, to be honest. I found them in my warm jacket pocket today. They must have been there since Boomtown last year.
Yeah, they look like moons.
Or Pez.
They're not Pez. Aspirin, possibly.
If they're the real thing, babes, with this echo and everything, there's gonna be a party in our ears.
I'll just take one for starters. None for Bella, okay?
You don't need to baby her, Sam.
She's my baby sister. She's 16.
Yeah, she's a woman. Just like Christabel. Christabel's 16. Bella? Hey, Bella. Want some tea?
Sam! And you left the recording on. Idiot.
It's hardly a big deal. I never pretended I didn't do drugs. Coleridge was off his head in laudanum half the time. That's how come he never finished Christabel. He was too stoned.
You were supposed to be looking out for me. You promised Dad. Not taking you don't even know what pill. You were driving.
Fair point.
Dad's car.
I'm sorry, Bella.
Right.
So, in this next scene, Christabel and Geraldine cross to go to the castle.
Did she give you lots of drugs? Taylor. I mean, all the time she was here.
Yeah? Right. On the way into the castle, Christabel and Geraldine have to cross the moat, but all of a sudden, Geraldine falls down.
Swoons?
Yeah, and can't get through the gate on the other side, and then the dog goes for her.
Not crossing the moat is actually a major clue that Geraldine's a witch. Witches can't cross water. And then Christabel picks her up, which is kind of superhuman of her.
Good thing it's audio.
Really.
They crossed the moat, and Christabel took the key that fitted well. A little door she opened straight, all in the middle of the gate. The gate that was ironed within and without, where an army in battle array had marched out.
Lady Geraldine!
Fair Christabel.
The lady sank, belike through pain, and Christabel, with might and main, lifted her up.
A weary weight.
Over the threshold of the gate. And put her down.
Then the lady rose again.
And moved, as she were not in pain.
Shush. And Christabel devoutly cried, the lady by her side.
Praise we the Virgin all divine, who hath rescued thee from thy distress.
Alas, alas, said Geraldine, I cannot speak for weariness.
So free from danger, free from fear, they crossed the court, right glad they were.
Outside her kennel, the mastiff old lay fast asleep in moonshine cold. The mastiff old did not awake, yet she an angry moan did make. Can you poke her or something, Bella? She needs to howl.
You pinched her, Taylor.
I didn't.
I saw you.
And what can ail the mastiff bitch? Never till now she uttered yell beneath the eye of Christabel. Perhaps it is the owlet's scritch. For what can ail the mastiff bitch?
My mother's dog.
Bella, sis, calm down, okay? We've got a lot to do.
And what can ail the mastiff bitch? Never till now she uttered yell beneath the eye of Christabel.
Taylor did pinch her. I saw it. I was going to walk off.
And I wasn't having that. I wanted to finish the poem. So we had some more tea and a cardamom brownie.
Which tasted really odd.
Then we went into the church, which was going to be Christabel's castle, which is this little tiny chapel, right? All stony and empty. We just had a few blankets in the corner for Christabel's room and a tea flask for the sound effects because they drink wine. And I started lighting the candles and Taylor was singing. Oh, it was so beautiful.
Weren't you worried about what was in Taylor's tea? The tea she was feeding to your baby sister.
The moonlight through the window. Taylor was lighting the candles, all her dreads down. The flask of tea.
She kept giving me extra cups.
A tongue of light, a feet of flame, they steal their way from stair to stair. Now in glimmer and now in gloom, and now they pass the baron's room.
A tongue.
Okay. Those pills are moons.
Definitely. Listen.
Listen. Only moons do that to your ears.
A tongue of light, a fit of flame. They steal their way from stair to stair. Now in glimmer, now in gloom. And now they pass the Baron's room.
Whoa. It sounds like the echo followed us in here.
Does your dad preach here every week?
Oh, more like once a month. Worried you've corrupted the preacher's son.
Not too worried.
Tongue of light and feet of flame, they steal their way from stair to stair.
Have you got some sort of backing track on?
No.
Yeah, that's right. Just a little one.
Cool.
More wildflower wine?
Yeah. All cool.
A tongue of light, a fit of flame. They steal their way from stair to stair. Now in glimmer and now in gloom. Now they pass the Baron's room.
And now they pass the Baron's room.
A tongue of light, a fit of flame. Now in glimmer and now in gloom.
They pass the hall that echoes still. Pass as lightly as you will. The brands were flat. The brands were dying, amid their own white ashes lying.
Oh, softly tread, said Christabel. My father seldom sleepeth well.
Sweet Christabel, her feet doth bare, and jealous of the listening air. They steal their way from stair to stair, now in glimmer and now in gloom, and now they pass the Baron's room.
Still as death with stifled breath, and now have reached her chamber door.
And now we've reached my chamber door.
And now doth Geraldine press down the rushes of the chamber floor.
The moon shines dim in the open air, and not a moonbeam enters there. But they without its light can see the chamber carved so curiously, carved with figures strange and sweet, all made out of the carver's brain.
Tongue of light, of it all flame, now in glimmer, now in gloom.
Come in. Come in my chamber, Geraldine.
The silver lamp burns dead and dim, but Christabel the lamp will trim. She trims the lamp and makes it bright, and leaves it swinging to and fro, while Geraldine, in wretched plight, sinks down upon the floor below.
Oh, weary lady Geraldine, I pray you drink this cordial wine. It is a wine of virtuous powers. My mother made it of wild flowers.
And will your mother pity me, who am a maiden most forlorn?
My mother? Woe is me. She died the hour that I was born.
Died the hour that you were born?
I have heard the grey-haired friar tell how on her deathbed she did say that she should hear the castle bell strike 12 upon my wedding day.
Wandering mother, peak and pine, I have power to bid thee flee.
Alas, what ails poor Geraldine? Why stares she with unsettled eye? Can she the bodiless dead espy?
Off, woman, off, this hour is mine, though thou her guardian spirit be. Off, woman, off, 'tis given to me.
Alas, this ghastly ride. Dear lady, it hath wildered you. Let me wipe your moist cold brow.
'Tis over now.
More wildflower wine?
Geraldine's eyes began to glitter bright, and from the floor whereon she sank, the lofty lady stood upright. She was most beautiful to see, like a lady of a far country.
She was most beautiful to see, like a lady of a far country.
And thus the lofty lady spake.
All they who live in the upper sky do love you, holy Christabel.
This is freaking me out.
Do you want to stop, Bella?
No. I want to go on.
Fair Christabel, unrobe yourself, for I must pray, ere yet in bed I lie.
Quoth Christabel, so let it be.
So let it be.
And as the lady bade, did she. Her gentle limbs did Christabel undress, and lay down in her loveliness.
And lay down in her loveliness. Oh, mother dear, that thou wert here, that she should hear the castle bell struck 12 upon my wedding day. Oh, mother dear, that thou wert here.
But through Christabel's brain of woe, so many thoughts moved to and fro, that vain it were her lids to close. So halfway from the bed she rose, and on her elbow did recline, to look at the Lady Geraldine.
So halfway from the bed she rose, and on her elbow did recline, to look at the Lady Geraldine.
I sigh to dream of not to tell. Oh, shield her, shield, sweet Christabel.
Beneath the lamp the lady bowed, and slowly rolled her eyes around, then drawing in her breath aloud, like one that shuddered, she unbound the cincture from beneath her breast.
Her silken robe and inner vest dropped to her feet, and in full view, behold, her bosom and half her side, a sight to dream of, not to tell. Yet Geraldine nor speaks nor stirs. Ah, what a stricken look was hers. Deep from within she seems halfway to lift some weight with sick assay, and eyes the maid and seeks delay. Then, suddenly, as one defied, collects herself in scorn and pride, and lay down by the maiden's side, and in her arms the maid she took.
And in her arms the maid she took.
And in her arms the maid she took.
In the touch of this bosom there worketh a spell, which is lord of thy utterance, Christabel. Thou knowest tonight and wilt know tomorrow, this mark of my shame, this seal of my sorrow.
I know tonight and will know tomorrow, this mark of your shame, this seal of your sorrow.
In the touch of this bosom there worketh a spell, which is lord of thy utterance, Christabel.
Oh, sorrow and shame. Can this be she, the lady who knelt at the old oak tree? She seems to slumber still and mild, as a mother with her child. A star hath set, a star hath risen, Oh, Geraldine, since arms of thine have been the lovely lady's prison. Oh, Geraldine, 1 hour was thine, thou'st had thy will.
A star hath set, a star hath risen, O Geraldine, since arms of thine have been the lovely lady's prison. O Geraldine, 1 hour was thine, thou'st had thy will.
O Geraldine, 1 hour was thine, thou'st had thy will. By tarn and rill, the night birds all the hour were still, but now they are jubilant anew, from cliff and tower to woo, to woo, to woo, to woo, from wood and fell.
A star has set, a star hath risen, O Geraldine, since arms of thine have been the lovely lady's prison. O Geraldine, 1 hour was thine, Geraldine, 1 hour was thine.
Thou hast had thy will.
And see, the Lady Christabel gathers herself from out her trance. Her limbs relax, her countenance grows sad and soft. The smooth, thin lids close o'er her eyes, and tears she sheds, large tears that leave the lashes bright. And oft the while she seems to smile, as infants do at a sudden light.
Is it morning? Geraldine.
Yea, she doth smile, and she doth weep, like a youthful hermitess, beauteous in a wilderness. No doubt she hath a vision sweet. What if her guardian spirit twere? What if she knew her mother near? But this she knows, in joys and woes, that saints will aid if men will call, for the blue sky bends over all. End of Christabel by Samuel Taylor Coleridge, Part 1. Cut. Cut!
Stop it, Taylor. Stop the singing now. Turn off the backing track.
We can't.
We're not doing it.
Oh, I get it. I'm hearing things. I'm high. You gave me something, didn't you, Sam? In the tea, or was it the brownie? So I'd hear stuff, so I'd do that stuff with Taylor, and now I am hearing stuff. You bastard, Sam. You're supposed to take care of me. You promised Mum.
So, we should explain.
About Coleridge.
Coleridge? We need to talk about Taylor. Now's the time.
You need to know that Coleridge...
I mean, listening to that is actually quite disturbing.
Later, Sam.
Why?
Because I say. I've got a plan, okay? I've got a reveal planned.
Me too, okay?
You need to know that Coleridge never exactly finished Christabel.
Bet mine's better.
But it's not. The part of the poem you've heard is part one. He finished that in 1797. And then he spent 2 years thinking about part two. And then he wrote part two.
Mostly stone.
I mean, he sets up the first part and... It's also cool and exciting, and what you want to know is, who is Geraldine? And why is she in Christabel's castle?
And especially what you want to know is, what happened in that hot bit when she took off her clothes and did something Christabel can't even remember? I mean, like, the bit with the horses? It's a consent drama.
But the thing is, Coleridge didn't know either. He couldn't decide what was going to happen. He didn't even seem to know what had happened.
He just wrote this long, long story where Geraldine gets up and makes Christabel take her to her dad.
And then Geraldine makes friends with the dad, Sir Leoline. Big betrayal. And Christabel knows it's wrong, but kind of can't think of why.
And then they're all going to go off and meet Geraldine's dad, who is an old friend. And that's just basically the end of the whole thing.
Which is pathetic.
No part three at all. He never even tried. And by far the best bits of part two are when Christabel has these sort of druggy flashbacks about Geraldine and the stuff that happened.
Taylor made a kind of song of those bits for me. She taught it to me right before the recording. It's actually really beautiful.
In the lady's arms she lay, she felt a rapture in her breast and on her lips, under her eyes, spread smiles and smiles and smiles and
don't.
Smiles.
Because that is what you started singing right after the freakout. Man, it was freaky. I can't tell you. The church all lit up with candles. You right in front of the altar, eyes popping out of your head, singing away, kind of at Taylor, who was cowering behind a pew. Oh, I can see it now.
Geraldine, in maiden wise, and in her head her large bright eyes, each shrunk up to a serpent's eye, a snake's small eye blinks dull and
Bella. Bella, shut up a minute, please.
Shut them up, then. Shut the singers up. I know you're doing it.
We're not doing anything. Bella, honestly, there isn't a backing track.
This is just the church.
You gave me something in the tea.
We didn't.
We didn't, Bella.
Everyone, shut up!
It's not us. It isn't, I promise. There isn't a backing track. I made that up. This is the choir of St. Leoline. They're from the lake.
I don't believe you. You're high.
Look, we might be, me and Taylor, we took a couple of pills.
But we didn't give you any.
We'll show you, yeah?
Just a few pills I found in my pocket of my jacket. Look, where's my jacket? I'll show you. Sam, did you take the pills? The bag's on the floor and it's empty.
No, of course I didn't.
It was you, Taylor. It was you. You put them in the tea. It was both of you.
Taylor, you better blame not have done.
That's a shit thing to say. I trusted you, Sam Thwaites. I thought you were a decent human being.
I trusted you. Why would you piss about with my baby sister? What happened in there? That wasn't on the programme, Taylor. I didn't say snog her.
Yeah, you did.
Sam, you total pervert.
I didn't say tongues.
Where's Eleanor? Where's my dog? What have you done with her?
Christ, the dog. The bloody dog!
Eleanor? Eleanor?
Lily!
Little pug.
Is that dog puke?
She's dead.
That's my fiddle case. God's sake.
She thought it was her bed. It's furry.
Ruined.
She's not dead. She's breathing.
Only just. She took a junkie's dose of MDMA.
Not like five little pills max. And she definitely threw them up. I can count them. One, two, three.
Shut up. Shut up, you singers. Let me think.
We need to get back to the car. We need to get her to the vet.
Oh, I can't drive, Bella. I'm too high.
Sam, you're supposed to take care of me.
Why is that my bloody job?
You promised Mum.
Promised Mum. I'm going to. I'm going to take care of you. I just need to think.
What is there to think about? Eleanor's dead. She ate your pills. We killed Mum's dog. We killed Mum.
Shh, Bella.
Eleanor's not dead. Look at her little sides going up and down like a squeeze box. Not dead at all.
Maybe we're all dead. Maybe that's why we can hear the ghosts.
For God's sake, shut up! Shut up, Taylor! Shut up, singers! Obviously, we're not dead!
But we are in a graveyard with a choir of ghosts. I can really hear them!
So can I. It doesn't mean we're dead.
So what are we? High? How would we all be high?
Because Taylor gave us all pills, one way or another.
Why would I do that?
I don't know. I don't know anything about you.
Do you know what I heard about the choir of St. Leoline? They send back your words so you can listen to yourself. Listen to yourself, Sam. You said you loved me. Where's your trust now? Listen to yourself, Bella. Spoiled little girl. You and your doubts. Chiseling away at me. Nagging away at Sam.
Running away from a rock star? Turning up in our house? That's my dog. My mum's dog.
So maybe I wasn't running away from a sex-pest rock star. Maybe I was running away from another guy. Maybe a failed musician in a caravan can be just as bad as a rock star boyfriend. Maybe I was out in that bog wondering if I should drown myself or face up to a prison sentence with a torturer. Maybe that's what lockdown meant to me.
Why didn't you say that? I'd have believed you. Taylor.
Would you? What did you just show me, Sam? Listen to yourself. You don't know anything about me.
Well, I'm sorry.
And yes, I did pinch the dog, Bella. I don't like dogs much. I didn't do any of the other stuff. Those pills were fake. I'm totally sure, but I didn't put them in the tea anyway. It was tea.
Well, what about kissing me? Did you plan it?
Bella, it was in the script. You picked the script.
I picked the script.
Taylor, I'm sorry. Please.
My name's not Taylor, Sam. That was just on the book you had in your hand. I had to think of something. I'm Geraldine.
Geraldine?
Common Irish name for a common Irish girl.
Helena! Oh, you're alive.
She was okay. I think she just ate all of the cardamom brownies and had gone into a bit of a diabetic hypo, basically.
She died a couple of weeks ago. She had a good summer.
Nearly.
We buried her up by the chapel, in Taylor's fiddle case.
All furry, the way she liked.
Which she left behind, Taylor, Geraldine. She went off early the next morning with Dad's credit card and the cash on the top desk drawer.
Sam, I thought you weren't going to say that.
Well, we agreed we'd explain everything.
But then you went off on that whole finding her by the caravan with the cotton weed and the honour of my life stuff.
Yeah, I thought about it all last night. Well, I've been thinking about it for weeks, actually. And that's what I've decided to say.
But you were so gutted when she went off.
Yeah. Yeah, and I deserved that. She showed me right up, didn't she? Taylor. Me thinking I was such a great guy, so woke, so feminist. And I had about as much love and insight and trust as, well, a 20-year-old.
You are 20.
Yeah. And I keep pretending I'm older, don't I? Keep chancing my arm, acting the adult. Pretending I'm fine without Mum.
Aren't you?
I'm not fine at all. Not for a minute. And that's what Taylor showed me. I'm a kid. That was me, being an idiot. Not her. She's beautiful. Beautiful to see. A lady from the far country. And I was at my best when I was most an idiot with her. And when I was begging her to come back and live in my house when I'd met her for 5 minutes. That's how I feel. That's my big reveal, sis. What's yours?
Sort of the same. I've been talking to Dad.
Dad?
And he agrees with me. We think Taylor was from the lake.
Right.
One of the choir of St. Leoline.
Well, I went back to the lake with his credit card and the cash from the drawer.
Yeah, exactly. Dad says she showed me up for the old fool I was.
No?
Doing anything except listen to his children. And his grief.
Oh.
Dad says, what does an echo do but make you listen to yourself? What does a lake do but show you your own reflection?
Oh. Right.
So that's what Geraldine was. Taylor, like a wake-up call. Makes us listen to ourselves.
What did she do for you then, sis?
Got rid of the dog. It did need doing. Sort of.
You let Taylor kiss you. In the church. You wanted it.
I picked the script.
And?
I've made a dating profile.
Oh, right. Congratulations.
Not expecting too much yet.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Nothing moves fast round here. Have you noticed Dad being a reformed character? Or me?
I've got my A-levels to finish.
The spring comes slowly. Up this way.
Hi there. Hello? Sam here again. We didn't record the second part of Christabel because, well, there was a lot going on that night and my sister, Bella, doesn't like that part much either. She does have a point that it doesn't fit in all that well with part one and doesn't end the story and there isn't much of a part for her in it. But I thought we should record it anyway, so you can make up your own mind. This is just me. There's no choir or dogs, no Taylor, just the abandoned poem. Christabel. Part 2 by Samuel Taylor Coleridge. Each matin bell the Baron Seth knells us back to a world of death. These words Sir Leoline first said when he rose and found his lady dead. These words Sir Leoline will say many a morn to his dying day. And hence the custom and law began that still at dawn the sacristan who duly pulls the heavy bell, 45 beads must tell between each stroke a warning knell, which not a soul can choose but hear from Brather Head to Windermere. Saith Bracy the Bard, so let it knell, and let the drowsy sacristan still count as slowly as he can. There is no lack of such, I ween, as well fill up the space between. In Langdale Pike and Witch's Lair, in Dungeon Gill so foully rent, with ropes of rock and bells of air, 3 sinful sexton's ghosts are pent, who all give back, one after t'other, the death note to their living brother. And off too by the knell offended, just as their 1, 2, 3 is ended, the devil mocks the doleful tale with a merry peal from Borrowdale. The air is still, through mist and cloud, that merry peal comes ringing loud, and Geraldine shakes off her dread and rises lightly from the bed, puts on her silken vestments white and tricks her hair in lovely plight. And nothing doubting of her spell awakens the Lady Christabel. Sleep you, sweet Lady Christabel, I trust that you have rested well. And Christabel awoke and spied the same who lay down by her side, or rather say, the same who she raised up beneath the old oak tree. Nay, fairer yet, and yet more fair, for she belike hath drunken deep of all the blessedness of sleep. And while she spake, her looks, her air, such gentle thankfulness declare, that, so it seemed, her girded vest grew tight beneath her heaving breast. Sure, I have sinned, said Christabel. Now heaven be praised if all be well. And in low, faltering tones, yet sweet, did she the lofty lady greet with such perplexity of mind as dreams too lively leave behind. So quickly she rose and quickly arrayed her maiden limbs, and having prayed that he who on the cross did groan might wash away her sins unknown, she forthwith led fair Geraldine to meet her sire, Sir Leoline. The lovely maid and the lady tall are pacing both into the hall, and pacing on through page and groom, enter the baron's presence room. The baron rose, and well he pressed his gentle daughter to his breast with cheerful wonder in his eyes. The Lady Geraldine espies, and gave such welcome to the same as might beseem so bright a dame. But when he heard the lady's tale, and when she told her father's name, why waxed Sir Leoline so pale, murmuring o'er the name again, Lord Roland de Vaux of Triermain? Alas, they had been friends in youth, but whispering tongues can poison truth, and constancy lives in realms above, and life is thorny, and youth is vain, and to be wroth with one we love doth work like madness in the brain. And thus it chanced, as I divine, with Roland and Sir Leoline. Each spake words of high disdain and insult to his heart's best brother. They parted, ne'er to meet again, but never either found another to free the hollow heart from paining. They stood aloof, the scars remaining like cliffs which had been rent asunder. A dreary sea now flows between, but neither heat nor frost nor thunder shall wholly do away, I ween, the marks of that which once hath been. Sir Leoline a moment's space stood gazing on the damsel's face, and the youthful lord of Triermain came back upon his heart again. Oh, then the baron forgot his age, his noble heart swelled high with rage. He swore by the wounds in Jesus' side he would proclaim it far and wide with trump and solemn heraldry, that they who thus had wronged the dame were base as spotted infamy. And if they dare deny the same, my herald shall appoint a week, and let the recreant traitors seek my tawny court, that there and then I may dislodge their reptile souls from the bodies and forms of men. He spake, his eye in lightning rolls, for the lady was ruthlessly seized, and he kenned in the beautiful lady the child of his friend. And now the tears were on his face, and fondly in his arms he took fair Geraldine, who met the embrace, prolonging with a joyous look, which when she viewed, a vision fell upon the soul of Christabel. The vision of fear, the touch and pain, she shrunk and shuddered, and saw again, ah, woe is me, was it for thee, thy gentle maid, such sights to see? Again she saw that bosom old, again she felt that bosom cold, and drew in her breath with a hissing sound, whereat the knight turned wildly round, and nothing saw but his own sweet maid, with eyes upraised as one that prayed. The touch, the sight had passed away, and in its stead that vision blessed, which comforted her after rest, while in the lady's arms she lay, had put a rapture in her breast, and on her lips and o'er her eyes spread smiles like light, with new surprise. What ails then, my beloved child? The baron said. His daughter mild made answer, all will yet be well, I ween. She had no power to tell aught else, so mighty was the spell, yet he who saw this Geraldine had deemed her sure a thing divine. Such sorrow with such grace she blended, as if she feared she had offended sweet Christabel, that gentle maid. And with such lowly tones she prayed she might be sent without delay home to her father's mansion. Nay, nay, by my soul, said Leoline. Ho, Bracy the bard, the charge be thine. Go thou with sweet music and loud, and take two steeds with trappings proud, and take the youth whom thou lov'st best, to bear thy harp and learn thy song, and clothe you both in solemn vest, and over the mountains haste along, lest wandering folk that are abroad detain you on the valley road. And when he has crossed the earthen flood, my merry bard, he hastes up Norran Moor through Halegarth Wood, and reaches soon that castle good which stands and threatens Scotland's wastes. Bard Bracy, your horses are fleet. Ye must ride up the hall, your music so sweet, more loud than your horses' echoing feet. And loud to Lord Roland call, thy daughter is safe in Langdale Hall. Thy beautiful daughter is safe and free. Sir Leoline greets thee thus through me. He bids thee come without delay with all thy numerous array and take thy lovely daughter home. And he will meet thee on the way with all his numerous array white with their panting palfrey's foam. And by mine honour I will say that I repent me of the day when I spake words of fierce disdain to Roland de Vaux of Triermain. For since that evil hour hath flown, many a summer's sun hath shone, yet ne'er found I a friend again like Roland de Vaux of Triermain. The lady fell and clasped his knees, her face upraised, her eyes o'erflowing, and Bracy replied with faltering voice, his gracious hail on all bestowing, thy words, thy sire of Christabel, are sweeter than my harp can tell. Yet might I gain a boon of thee, this day my journey should not be so strange a dream hath come to me, that I had vowed with music loud to clear yon wood from thing unblessed, warned by a vision in my rest. For in my sleep I saw that dove, that gentle bird whom thou dost love, and call'st by thy own daughter's name. Sir Leoline, I saw the same fluttering and uttering fearful moan among the green herbs in the forest alone, which when I saw and when I heard, I wondered what might ail the bird. For nothing near it could I see, save the grass and green herbs underneath the old tree. And in my dream methought I went to search out what might there be found, and what the sweet bird's trouble meant, that thus lay fluttering on the ground. I went and peered and could descry no cause for her distressful cry, but yet for her dear lady's sake I stooped, methought, the dove to take, when lo, I saw a bright green snake coiled around its wings and neck, green as the herbs on which it couched, close by the dove's its head it crouched. And with the dove it heaves and stirs, swelling its neck as she swelled hers. I woke. It was the midnight hour. The clock was echoing in the tower, but though my slumber was gone by, this dream, it would not pass away. It seems to live upon my eye. And thence I vowed this self-same day with music strong and saintly song to wander through the forest bare, lest aught unholy loiter there. Thus Bracy said, the Baron the while, half listening, heard him with a smile, then turned to Lady Geraldine, his eyes made up of wonder and love, and said in courtly accents fine, sweet maid, Lord Roland's beauteous dove, with arms more strong than harp or song, thy sire and I will crush the snake. He kissed her forehead as he spake. And Geraldine, in maiden wise, casting down her large bright eyes, with blushing cheek and courtesy fine, she turned her from Sir Leoline, softly gathering up her train, that e'er her right arm fell again, and folded her arms across her chest, and couched her head upon her breast, and looked askance at Christabel. Jesu, Mary, shield her well. A snake's small eye blinks dull and shy. And the lady's eyes, they shrunk in her head, each shrunk up to a serpent's eye, and with somewhat of malice and more of dread at Christabel she looked askance. One moment, and the sight was fled. But Christabel, in dizzy trance, stumbling on the unsteady ground, shuddered aloud with a hissing sound, and Geraldine again turned round, and like a thing that sought relief, full of wonder and full of grief, she rolled her large bright eyes divine wildly on Sir Leoline. The maid, alas, Her thoughts are gone. She nothing sees, no sight but one, the maid devoid of guile and sin. I know not how, in fearful wise, so deeply she had drunken in that look, those shrunken serpent eyes, that all her features were resigned to this soul image in her mind, and passively did imitate that look of dull and treacherous hate. And thus she stood in dizzy trance, still picturing that look askance, with forced unconscious sympathy, full before her father's view, as far as such a look could be, in eyes so innocent and blue. And when the trance was o'er, the maid paused awhile, and inly prayed, then falling at the baron's feet, "By my mother's soul, I do entreat that thou this woman send away," she said, and more she could not say, for what she knew she could not tell, o'ermastered by the mighty spell. "Why is thy cheek so wan and wild, Sir Leoline? Thy only child lies at thy feet, thy joy, thy pride, so fair, so innocent, so mild, the same for whom thy lady died. Oh, by the pangs of her dear mother, think thou no evil of thy child. For her and thee and for no other, she prayed the moment ere she died, prayed that the babe for whom she died might prove her dear lord's joy and pride. That prayer her deadly pangs beguiled. Sir Leoline, wouldst thou wrong thy only child, her child and thine?" Within the baron's heart and brain, if thoughts like these had any share, they only swelled his rage and pain, and did but work confusion there. His heart was cleft with pain and rage, his cheeks they quivered, his eyes were wild, dishonoured thus in his old age, dishonoured by his only child, and all his hospitality to the wrong daughter of his friend, by more than woman's jealousy brought thus to a disgraceful end. He rolled his eye with stern regard upon the gentle minstrel bard, and said in tones abrupt, austere, "Why, Bracy, dost thy loiter here? I bade thee hence." The bard obeyed, and turning from his own sweet maid, the aged knight Sir Leoline led forth the Lady Geraldine. A little child, a limber elf, singing, dancing to itself, a fairy thing with round red cheeks, that always finds and never seeks, makes such a vision to the sight as fills a father's eyes with light. And pleasures flow in so thick and fast upon his heart that he at last must needs express his love's excess with words of unmeant bitterness. Perhaps 'tis pretty to force together thoughts so all unlike each other, to mutter and mock a broken charm, to dally with wrong that does no harm. Perhaps 'tis tender too and pretty at each wild word to feel within a sweet recoil of love and pity. And what if in a world of sin, oh sorrow and shame, should this be true? Such giddiness of heart and brain comes seldom save from rage and pain, so talks as it's most used to do.
Sam was played by Luke Wright, Bella, Fia Saban, and Taylor, Chrissy Bonn. The music was composed by Katie Chatburn and performed by Juice and Bellatrix. Sound design was by Steve Brook. Christabel by Samuel Taylor Coleridge, dramatised by Kate Clanchy, was a BBC Audio North production produced by Susan Roberts.
Oh,
Next week's drama is The Son, Florian Zeller's play about parenthood and the impact of mental illness. That's at the same time, 7:30 next Sunday. And meanwhile, you can find more recent editions of Drama on 3 to listen to on BBC Sounds.
The BBC Proms 2020 on BBC Sounds. For the first time ever, the whole Proms season is available for 30 days after the last night. A glittering array of international stars.
The long-awaited Proms debut of the soprano Renée Fleming.
Standout Proms from the past. And 16 live concerts.
Serene, sunlit guitars, that electrifying percussion and drums, just breathtaking stuff.
Explore the full 2020 Proms season now on BBC Sounds.
This is BBC Radio 3, and later tonight, Eleanor Alberger continues her history of black classical music. This evening, in the second episode, the focus is America and how black pride and identity have helped to shape American classical music from the turn of the 20th century to the present day. That's at 11 o'clock tonight. First on BBC Radio 3 at 10 to 9, it's time for us to join Hannah French for her weekly exploration of the best new recordings in classical music.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Record Review Extra. Sunday evening blues, we've just the thing. Come take a gallop through St. Petersburg with Cacciatorian.